Welcome to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD, where we talk about anything farm, fresh, and food related. My name is Sarah Severson. I'm your host today. We have in the studio with us Judy Garagus. Judy Garagus and Scott Clark with the Dolores Conservation District. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks. Hey, Glad to be here.
Okay, so let's start, Judy, with just answering the question, what is a conservation district?
A lot of people know about the conservation district as being formed after the Dust Bowl, and that's exactly what happened. That's been back since 1942 here in Cortez, Dolores area. What we do now is we try to fill the niche that needs to be handled for farmers, for agriculture, for local community, and making our community sustainable. We live in an agricultural community. I don't think anybody has any question about that. And what we try to do is make sure that the landowners are heard, that the community is heard, and that we fill any need that would help us maintain that agricultural landscape. When the district was first formed back in 1942, it was really as a liaison agency between the federal government and local landowners, because things haven't changed a lot in that there was some mistrust and some lack of communication between federal government and those of us that are on the ground. So the district tried to fill that niche at the time, that need. I don't think that that's changed at all. We listen to the landowners. We're on the ground finding out what needs to be taken care of, and we do that. We've become quite the agency for making connections, finding the resources. A new idea comes in that may help our community and in the area of agriculture, and we'll go all the way from the Small Business Development Center to NRCS to CSU to school to farm to a compost agency in the area. Whatever it takes to help people be successful in agriculture will help find that resource, and that's what we've become over the years.
Great. So sort of connecting the dots, can you give us an example of some of the programs that the Dolores Conservation District is offering?
We have several programs going on right now. Let's start with the Master Steward Program, for instance. That is a collaborative effort with CSU Extension Small Acreages. And that begins on April 23rd. It's a 9-week program where we will actually have someone individually, a conservationist, come out to your property, talk to you about what your dreams are, you know, what you always wanted to have this look like, and say, well, let's go ahead and try this because that looks more successful, or it looks like you might have a an area over here that's not going to grow that crop, or have you thought about a high tunnel? Anyway, someone that will work with you individually to see if we can make that happen and what it would take, and then find the resources for you. The 9-week course itself will cover all kinds of things about planning, about if it needs to be phased in, your whatever it is you decide to do. It will cover, we'll actually include a soil test we'll do for you. We'll talk about water. We'll talk about animals. We'll talk about everything that you need to know about this area, your place, and how to make it successful.
So, for example, if I was wanting to raise goats on my land but had never done it before, just bought 5 acres of land, somebody that has some experience would come out and sort of show me pasture grazing patterns that I could do, integrated land management practices. Is that correct?
That's part of what would happen, and there would be an overview, a whole farm management view of how that would look. And then we'll move into the step two here. We are working also with the Farm Hub. And right now, the Farm Hub offers more specific courses so that if there were a couple people that wanted to do goats, we would contact the Farm Hub and we would see if they could not set up a more specific thing, what breeds to buy, what you're going to feed them, what you can expect. Are you doing meat goats or milk goats? Or all those kinds of very specific issues then would be transferred over to the Farm Hub to be able to deal with your issues.
Great. Fantastic. Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. Today we have in the studio with us Judy Geragoose and Scott Clark with the Dolores Conservation District. Tell us a little bit more. I know Scott's involved as a technician. What are some programs that you're involved with, Scott, with the Dolores Conservation District?
This year we're promoting irrigation water management and the tools and techniques to make that really effective, make people understand how well that works and how they can make it work well for themselves.
That's always a great topic in regards to water and sustainable use of water. So what sort of practices are being serviced or educated? What sort of educational practices are being delivered to the public?
Well, it really began last year. Of course, irrigation water management is an ongoing practice with the NRCS and through their EQIP programs for more efficient irrigation systems that we're building in the county. But last year, our board perceived that people just weren't paying enough attention, perhaps, and could use some information and some education. So we started a pilot program, served, you know, about 20 people or so, and have now expanded that into, I think I've already got 25 signups, and I've got about 50 people through the NRCS EQIP program. And we'll go on farm. We'll discuss soils, which is absolutely important, the water-holding capacity of the soil. We'll discuss, you know, soil health, and we'll assess whatever system they've got. In other words, if they've got a side roll, if they've got gated pipe or not, and work with them to help them understand just what that does. Help them understand the amount of water that they put in the soil and the effect it has on the crop. And, of course, we'll discuss the crops because, obviously, that's what we're trying to grow, and they need a certain amount of water. So we're going to help people get it there.
And are you looking? Are you noticing when you're working with the 20 that you worked with last year, and then the 20 looks like to, you know, you're increasing that number this year?
Yeah.
Are you finding that it's a lot of young farmers or a mixture of young and older farmers?
It's the total gamut of everybody that's in this county. I mean, from experienced, seasoned commercial farmers, hay growers, and whatnot, that are really trying to improve, you know, their bottom line and their efficiency, on down to rank beginners, people that have moved to the area from somewhere else, inherited an irrigation system, and don't really know too much about it. So A to Z.
That's great. Great program. Let's talk a little bit about the high tunnel program. That's been highly successful in the last couple of years. Seems like there's a high tunnel popping up on every corner.
Kind of looks like that, doesn't it? what that is Scott said something about the EQIP program, and that's the Environmental Quality Incentive Program that the Natural Resource Conservation Service puts out. And the high tunnels are an EQIP program. What that means is that someone has to has to be a farmer. They have to be designated a farmer by the USDA, and they do that in the NRCS office. From there, they apply to get a high tunnel, and there is a cost share, and that's where NRCS comes in. They have the cost share programs. It varies depending on whether you're a beginning farmer or not. And then what the district noticed was, okay, so yeah, you're right. They're starting to pop up everywhere. What do people know about them? Well, not a whole lot. And so we started some workshops. We worked also with Seven Meadows Farm to have some workshops that first year. Now we have an ongoing High Tunnels group that is just a community group that actually talks and gets together and shares information about that. What the high tunnels do is it's really an unheated greenhouse. It has to be put together by a commercial agent or a commercial group that guarantees their product. We use a lot of drip irrigation, so it does save a lot of water. It, in my mind, one of the best things it does is it protects from the wind. And then it also extends the season on both ends. Whether you're trying to ripen some tomatoes, you get that, you know, that last freeze, you might survive that and be able to get a whole bunch more tomatoes than you normally would be able to. And in the spring, people are already planting, and they're being able to get that. So what that's going to do for this area and community is be able to supply more food to our local folks. Many of you have seen the places, let's see, I'm trying to think now, at the farm where they have a cooler and you can get greens, or they have it at Let It Grow, or they have it at Four Seasons, or there's a lot of local food here that people can get, and a lot of the times the high tunnels are what are supplying that. Mm-hmm. We're also, as you know, Sarah, with the school to farm program, being able to start to support even some of our schools in that, and I've seen some little tunnels up at the schools as well, not the high tunnel program, but some little tunnels. We're also looking at supplying more and more of our food to hospitals and to the schools in general through, but we need more production here in this area in order to be able to do that. So the high tunnels are helping us to extend our season and provide more food.
How many high tunnels are out there in the county? Do you know?
Well, you know, it seems to change because there's contracted ones, there's ones that are actually up, and there's actually ones that are in production. But I'm gonna venture a guess. This is not accurate, but venture a guess of about 37.
Okay, so that's quite. And how big are these spaces?
Most of the spaces are somewhere around 30 by 72 feet. Mm-hmm. That's the largest size that the EQIP program will cover. However, it's just based on square footage, and so I know that there are some folks out there that have gotten two smaller ones. And I always tell people, well, you know, you can't grow, you know, a cool weather crop and a warm weather crop in the same high tunnel because it's really difficult to maintain a different temperature. so that's why
magical high tunnels we
call
those. Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. We're talking with Judy Garaguse and Scott Clark with the Dolores Conservation District. Let's talk a little bit about the conservation supplies that you guys offer.
We have. Long before I was in the conservation district, carried the weed barrier, and I think that's pretty much where we got started. The conservation district is not funded by any government agency. That's one of the reasons why we have the freedom to veer off, if you will, from what's being offered conventionally for ideas and information. So we do have to make some money in order to keep our doors open. And one of the ways that we do that is through the conservation supplies, the weed barrier being one of the first things. It has been tested even up at the Old Fort at the Hesperus Research Center, and it shows out to be one of the very best that's available. I've had people, I can't tell you how many people, come in and go, well, I just ripped up all that stuff I got at the big box store, and now I'm coming back to get the stuff that works. Mm-hmm. And definitely it does. It's very reasonable. I was thinking about that this morning. I was in Washington State last year and saw this very same product for double the money at a nursery. So you're getting a really good deal. I think statewide it is the second cheapest, you know, of all the conservation districts. And so that's something that you can use in your garden. It's something you can use to try to maintain even a landscape and just keep the weeds out. It actually lets the water soak through, but, you know, it keeps the weeds from popping up. So that's one of the things that we have. We also have a drip kit that we sell with when we sell the seedling trees.
Let's talk about the seedling trees. So you got drip irrigation for seedling trees,
right,
and then for gardens as well.
Right,
so
we have both kinds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead and talk about the seedling tree drip irrigation.
Well, the seedling tree drip irrigation comes in a kit, so it's very easy. We do get a good brand of half-inch pipe to go with that that's more UV resistant. And what that allows is that when you plant your seedling trees, you can just have a little bit drip onto each tree continually. Because I can tell you, when you buy, for those of you who have gotten your orders in, those little trees, they need a little bit of water. And they need it to be consistent. It's not like dump on, you know, 5 gallons, walk away for 10 days and come back. Because it's really like a tomato plant. It's just got little teeny root hairs there, and it's got to stay a little bit moist. If you do that, your trees are probably going to be fine.
Great.
So we sell that.
Great. And we'll come back, talk a little bit more about the drip irrigation for gardens. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. We're back with more of the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. We've got Judy Garaguse and Scott Clark with us with the Dolores Conservation District. So, Judy, we were talking about drip irrigation types that the Dolores Conservation District sells. Let's talk a little bit about drip irrigation for gardens. Some people feel really intimidated by putting together a drip irrigation system.
One of the things that One of the reasons we're doing this is because I tried all kinds of drip stuff in my garden, and I was overwhelmed. So we started with the high tunnels, actually, in carrying the drip tape that we can now make a system out of. And usually when people come in, I can show them examples, and when they can see it in their hands, they go, oh, this makes sense. And so that's what we sell it for now, is for the gardens. And it and primarily we started for the high tunnels because it is such a good system for the high tunnels. It's one of the least expensive, maintenance-free systems that you can do. And of course, it saves money and it actually produces a better crop. I'm kind of, I wouldn't say lazy, but I really put a timer on mine because during the summer, if I want to go on a hike and I forget, you know, they poor little things get thirsty. So it is a really simple system to put together. Another thing that I did in addition to the weed barrier and the drip irrigation stuff was I went ahead and got some fabric as well to make some smaller, what we call low tunnels, inside the high tunnels or in your garden to extend the season. So if you don't qualify for an EQIP program or just want something that's a little bit more affordable, we have the fabric and I can help you design a little low tunnel that you can start your things in a little earlier in the season. My cabbage and cauliflower and all those things are in my little low tunnel right now and they're doing just fine.
Oh, great. So people can contact the Dolores Conservation District and you'll walk them through that process.
Yes.
of supplying drip irrigation supplies. Yes. And the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about the no-till program. Scott, you're doing a lot of work with the no-till drill. Tell us what it is and what it does for producers.
The no-till drill is it's a seed drill, but it's actually designed to use without tillage. In other words, you wouldn't plow, disc, and whatnot. You can do some of that, but this really is designed to just drill seeds right into the ground as it lays. It's got three seed boxes. The first one's a standard grain drill, which you can put grass seed mixes to and other things into. And then the center one is for native seeds. A lot of them are rough. They've got a long on or a long beard on them or whatever, and so they need a special delivery system. And then the rear box is a small seed box for alfalfa, clovers, and things like that. But the main feature to it is it's got a rolling coulter in the front that makes about a 3-inch deep slit in the ground, and which is followed by double openers that the seed drops into, and then a little packer wheel that rolls behind. So it does a really great job of just, without any primary tillage, overseeding a pasture or even a new planting, or once you've removed some weeds or something, you can just get right in the ground with what you want to grow there.
And it sounds like it sort of is like an envelope almost. It opens up, puts the seed in, and then closes it right up behind it?
So to speak,
is
yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah,
and who's
good.
Using this type of drill?
Gosh, every landowner around. I think the last time it was out, it planted, it overseeded 35 acres of grass, a grass seed mix, and to improve a pasture area. Other people have used it. Oh, I think one fellow planted quinoa with it, actually, over in Mancos. So you can do just about anything with it, I think, that's pasture-related or, yeah.
And how does the rental process work for it? People just show up and say, I need that no-till drill, or
oh,
do they need a little bit of education around how it works?
It's too popular. You've got to get on a waiting list, actually. At this time of year, it's pretty well scheduled. So people are taking it out, bringing it back the next day or 2 days later, and then somebody else is taking it right out. And, of course, we go over it with the operator as soon as they show up. You know, we spend a half hour, an hour, whatever it takes to get them dialed in on it so that they can use it, and then it goes out with the manual too. So,
and how many other conservation districts offer a no-till drill for folks to use?
Gosh, I don't know.
I mean, is that a common thing? Every conservation district's got one?
Well, not everyone. No, it's kind of area specific. You know, up in Delta, they do a lot of drip irrigation, so they actually have a tool to install drip tape into fields.
Oh, into large quantity, like
yeah.
Acreage of fields, drip
yeah,
irrigation.
Yeah, they've got pasture and alfalfa on it. That's what they're doing up there, and this is what we're doing around here. There's plenty of pastures that need some work, and this tool is excellent for it.
What, tell me a little bit about, now you've been farming down in McElmo Canyon since the late 70s. So,
right so.
Yeah. So you're one of our, you know, one of the county's mentors in terms of letting us know what's been happening in the past couple decades and showing us a way for the future in terms of things are getting drier and hotter. What are you noticing in terms of the water landscape, the moisture levels in the area?
Well, you know, seasons change, and it really does seem that there are broad cycles that come in. It's really hard to say exactly what's going on, but things are changing, and it seems to be drier. It seems like the runoff, the snow melt, comes down earlier every year, and there's less of it. Now, maybe we'll cycle back out of that 5-10 years from now. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I don't. But it's more difficult now, and it really would pay people to pay attention to how much they irrigate, what their water's doing. It's not just to not waste it, but to really know what it takes to grow whatever crop they want to grow, mm-hmm. and then put that out there.
What's the difference between, you were talking about side rolls versus, I've never even thought of drip irrigation in a large field. I think of it in terms of maybe a large garden space, but not something that has acres and acres. So, you know, what does a side roll use in an acre of pasture land or garden space versus drip irrigation? Is that a significant difference in water conservation?
Well, it really is. Anytime you're applying water to the surface, you know, whether you're flooding it out or putting it out through a side roll, even with drip, you're measuring how many inches of water you're putting on, because that's how many inches of water the crop's going to use over a certain amount of time. The efficiency simply goes up. You can have wild flood that's maybe 30 or 40% efficient. In other words, you're wasting 60% of the water.
Because it's just running off,
it's
evaporating?
Off, right, or yeah. It's not going where it needs to go. Mm-hmm. So you're using excess water to get it there. Controlled flood with gated pipe, your efficiencies go up to maybe 50% or 60%. No, not 60, 50. So with side rolls, then, where you're applying a certain amount of water over a certain amount of time, your efficiency is going to go up to 65 or 70%. Whereas with drip, you're up to 90%.
Wow. There is a, right now at the Yellow, or I've heard that right now the Yellow Jacket Research Center is entertaining the thought of trying another experiment with drip irrigation. One of the problems that they had when they tried this years ago was that all the drip irrigation tape got eaten up by gophers, pocket Ooh. Gophers. So that didn't go very well. So they're going to see if there's something different now, or if there's some other way to do it, or maybe another product. I don't know. But there has been some talk about doing another experiment up there with that.
Seems like a great way to go in terms of hotter, drier climate and mm-hmm. way to apply to directly to the plants that you're growing. Let's talk a little bit about the salinity projects that are happening, or how you're connected. What are the salinity projects and what the Dolores Conservation District is doing in collaboration
with
those?
Of the reasons that you hear so much about the water projects, the EQIP projects being focused on water here, is because we have the NRCS in this area receives money to try to improve the quality of the water being returned back into the rivers. We're a very high salinity area, and so they contract with folks who can improve that quality by not having so much runoff, by not wasting so much water, and that's where a lot of the money is going right now. We're doing a great job of that here, and soon probably we won't be having that kind of a focus anymore. It'll change a little bit, and so we're trying to stay a little ahead of the district itself is trying to stay a little ahead of the curve and start talking about rejuvenating the soil and soil health and making sure that we don't see another dust bowl here like we did, what was it, Saturday, I believe.
Just right here.
Yeah, yeah. Next to Cortez. It was scary to see all the dust in the air, and it shouldn't be there. So we're trying to focus on having an understanding of how we can keep that from happening.
Great. And Judy, why, you seem very passionate about what you do with the Dolores Conservation District. Why do you get involved with such a program?
Wow. Because it makes sense to me that if we want to be sustainable and if we want to keep the community healthy the way that it is and be able to make the connections we can with other people and nature and farming, that we have to take care of what we have. And that's why.
Great. Well, thanks so much. We love having both of you on the show today. If people want more information about the Dolores Conservation District and some of the things you offer, what's the best way to contact you guys?
The easiest way is to send an email, doloresconservation@gmail.com. Or you can dial 565-9045, extension 118.
Great. Thanks so much for being on the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
You're listening to the Big Fat Farm Show on KSJD. Tune in on 2 weeks at 8:30 a.m. for the next edition. I'm Sarah Severson, your host, signing off, friend, a farmer this week. Thanks for listening and have a great day.